Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's 158.3 is perfect, right?
Sounds about right.
All right, he was at, well, you know what? You'll get it when you get it, because now right. The internet's a little
Dietrich slow. In Willow.
151.3.
Oh, he's there. Okay.
There you go, right about there.
Go ahead, Dietrich.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be totally honest. I haven't watched every single Browns game, but from what I've seen and what I've heard on TV and radio, I think we're starting to have a little connection, and I think he's our number one receiver.
Dietrich, why are you not watching all the games?
I got other things I got going on.
All right. Well, we got other things to do. 216-578-0092. Somebody who watches
off to a good
all
start.
The games, I can promise you that, appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Daryl Ryder is with us now. Daryl, you have watched all the games, correct?
I have. Every time you guys take a call, my life is enriched.
You're happy we went to the phones on that one.
Hey, Daryl.
That was worth it.
You gonna sue you gonna sue Baker Mayfield for taking your moniker away from you?
I was gonna say when he said that, yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, I thought I had the trademark on
it's
that.
Like, whoa, we call one guy around here. I guess there's room for two dangerous people.
It's a dangerous duo.
Oh my God, what a dangerous room we had in there yesterday after that win. Honestly, you got 216 yards, 17 of 20, you got three touchdowns out of him. And I yelled at Lima. I thought I was going to get berated today. Lima's been just pretty cool with it. I thought, considering the circumstances, when I told Anthony this, Daryl, you got to put a team on your shoulders if you're going to win anything, especially against a team where you were a 6-point underdog going into this one. I didn't give you a chance. A lot of people didn't give you a chance.
I didn't give him a chance.
I think that's as good a chance that you have for a culture-changing win as you're going to have, especially when it's done by a young rookie, what you hope to be franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. We were waiting for that next, you know, we kept talking about what's the next step for Baker Mayfield. And to me, it was that transcendent performance, that wow game. We got that yesterday from Baker Mayfield. Now, he didn't throw for 500 yards or complete 40 passes, but he was extremely efficient, started out 13 for 13, perfect passer rating at halftime. And he basically lifted his teammates up, put him on his back, and helped carry him to victory along with Nick Chubb. That's what we're looking for from a franchise quarterback. And, you know, we've been talking about it as this season has gone along. You know, is Baker the guy? Is he going to be the guy? Is he the number one pick? That's going to, you know, be. I think he is. He continues to show us week in and week out that he has what it takes to win at this level. He just needs his teammates to do their part. Yesterday, they did their part in a very big way, and a lot of people are very, very happy this morning.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us. So then the next question is, because we had some fun on Friday talking about Freddie Kitchens. I said there's no chance Freddie Kitchens is going to be the offensive coordinator of this team next year. And I'm hearing it from a lot of people saying, wait a second, offense looks completely different now that Todd Haley is gone. Do you buy that? Have they even had time to install that much in the way of new things? We did see some gadgets yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen a few gadgets since he's taken over as the OC. No, I don't necessarily buy that they have changed the system. I think what Freddie Kitchens has done is what Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley either didn't want to do, weren't capable of doing, didn't care to do, however you want to view that situation. And that is, you know, he's using pieces and parts of the playbook that his players are comfortable with, that he really thinks accentuates their abilities, and it's paid off. They scored 7 touchdowns in 2 games. When's the last time the Cleveland Browns scored 7 touchdowns in a month, let alone 2 games? So that's, I think, why you're seeing this offense look different. Okay, his modified formations yesterday, the veer, the wing tee, or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's fun to watch, and the players are producing. So I think it comes down to basically them realizing the situation that they're in, and that is that, as you alluded to, probably not going to be back next year. So why not go out having a little fun? And, you know, at the same time, maybe audition for jobs elsewhere.
Darrell Ryder joined us on the hotline. So obviously it wasn't just Baker Mayfield yesterday. Nick Chubb was unbelievable. The 92-yard run, he ends up with 176, 8.8 per carry. And it would have been big even without the 92-yard run. He still was having an impressive day. They threw it to him out of the backfield as well. Just when you really think about Baker Mayfield, Denzel Ward, Nick Chubb, I mean, this is an all-timer in the terms of a draft and John Dorsey coming in and making these selections.
Absolutely. You know, we've given the Haslams a lot of grief over the people they've hired over the years, and a lot of it deservedly so, but they certainly deserve credit for hiring John Dorsey. And I wrote that last night. I gave Dorsey a game ball because just look at who's contributing out on the football field. So this draft class has the potential, as Baker talked about yesterday. You know, they're doing their job, but I think they got a chance to be special, and that if they can get this thing turned around, we're going to look back on this draft class as the foundation that was laid for this team going forward. And
go ahead, Darrell. Go ahead.
Yeah, just you know, it maybe we'll look back too, much like we did in 2002's win over the Falcons that got the Browns into the playoffs, much like the 2014 win in Atlanta. That was basically the last of the good old days. That saw it was the beginning of the end as far as this franchise falling off the cliff and going into this spell of losing that they've been in. Maybe we're going to look back at November 11th, 2018 as the moment that this thing turned around for the Cleveland Browns. It wouldn't surprise me because the Falcons have been a few mile markers in this expansion era for the Browns.
The always dangerous Darrell Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, it's going to make you feel a lot better because you remember the storylines going into yesterday was, well, Sashi and Paul DiPodesta had wanted Sean McDermott. I didn't think that mattered for anybody because I still think people would be talking about firing him considering what was there. But you move on and you see that what Nick Chubb was able to do for this team and also what Baker Mayfield was able to do. Defensively, though, do you think yesterday was one of the things, and it's hard to notice things on defense because we don't know keys, but you see Joe Schobert come back, and automatically Jamie Collins is put in a better position and actually plays better. Is that right there, that difference? Because a lot of people were upset, and even myself, I was fit to be tied with him after last week's game.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, the Browns might have gotten a little better. You know, I wasn't. You know, last year I wasn't sold on Joe Schobert being a Pro Bowl player. I admit that. You know, I kind of chuckled at it. You know, the Browns went 0-16, and I just kind of took the attitude that, hey, somebody on that defense had to make the plays. And, you know, you always have a player that looks better than they really are when you're on a really, really bad team, especially a historically bad team like the Browns were a year ago. But I think that what we've seen this year is the value of Joe Schobert and just what a really good football player he is. And I have to do my mea culpa, and yep, got that one wrong. Joe Schobert is a very good football player, and you're seeing his impact on this team. And we saw for 3 weeks what it was like not to have him, and all of a sudden he comes back, and they contain one of the hottest teams in the National Football League. You know, that he made the front end of the defense better. He made the back end of the defense better. Matt Ryan had to throw it 52 times. Granted, Julio Jones got his 100 yards receiving, and he did get a touchdown, but he really didn't go off. He was held to 7 catches, considering the volume of throws that Matt Ryan made yesterday. So I think Joe Schobert deserves certainly a lot of credit. You got to give T.J. Carey some credit, too. You got to give Jamie Collins credit. You got to give Denzel Ward credit. Just they played complimentary football on that side of the ball yesterday, Ken, and it was great to see them after the Browns retook the lead right before halftime. They didn't give it up.
So we bask in the glow of a victory and a victory Monday, and we'll savor every moment. And plus, we get a bye week so we can enjoy it even more. Then you have Cincinnati. They just got their doors blown off yesterday by the Saints. What do you expect now for the rest of the year? I expect competitive football. I can't say they're just going to win out the rest of the season there. But what do you expect with a Baker Mayfield-led team that's still going to be in some sort of limbo because technically it's an interim head coach with technically an interim offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, they still got a couple items they need to check off the bucket list this year for me to really, really deem this a successful season. They need to end the road losing streak. That is still going strong. And I think they need to win back-to-back games. And certainly an opportunity will await them when they get to travel to Cincinnati after the bye week on the 25th. And, you know, the Bengals are not a team that I'm really sold on. I think that they are a team that can be picked off. The schedule's very, very difficult. There's no question about it down the stretch. But if they play the way they played yesterday, Ken, I don't think it's inconceivable to think that they could win two more games. If you can get two more victories out of this thing and finish with five wins, and it's, 5-10-1 when the dust settles, considering you only won four games the previous 3 years combined, and you had to fire your coach in the middle of the season and your offensive coordinator in the middle of the season, I'd say that that's a pretty successful year. I'd still like to see them win back-to-back games. I'd still like to see them win a road game so we can wipe all these losing streaks off the books and really start 2019 fresh and not talking about the meter running on some of these negative streaks. If they can get to that point, good for them and a good solid year for the Cleveland Browns, even though the overall record is still basically what it's been for 20 years.
Well, yesterday's game combined with the picture with Mike Silver, boy, Hugh Jackson is not looking very good right now. But when we do look forward, the last game of the season will be against the Baltimore Ravens. It seems to be that they will have a mutual parting of ways between the Ravens and John Harbaugh. How realistic, what possibility is there that John Harbaugh either takes some time off after this year, or if he wants to jump right back into it, maybe he stays in the division and heads up along the lakeshore?
I would try and get him to come on the plane leaving Baltimore. If I'm John Dorsey, hopefully an announcement is made before the game that he won't return, and it's official, and as soon as the clock hits all zeros, I would walk across that sideline and say, hey, John, we got a 6 p.m. flight to Cleveland. You want to come on? You want to come up north a little bit here? I would try and bring him here. Now, the question is, does he fit? And this is the interesting part of this coaching search going forward with John Dorsey is, you know, the players that he's already brought in. I believe that Dorsey tried to bring in players that fit the coaching staff that was here. And I'm sure that the guy, I do believe that a lot of the players he brought here are flexible enough that if things do get tweaked or changed, they can stay. He doesn't really have to tear down a lot of the work that he's already done. But I'm curious to see just how much change he has to make as far as the type of players that he does bring here to fit whatever coach he does decide to go with. I think that obviously change is inevitable anytime you switch out your head coach. We saw change like you rarely see in the NFL where you're bringing in 33, 34, 35 different players in one offseason, and a lot of those guys are starters and key players on the team. While I don't expect the change to be that drastic in the offseason from a roster standpoint, I'm very curious to see, the route he takes and just, how much he might have to change the philosophy of the type of player he looks for to fit the coach. And that's going to be just as important as that head coaching hire.
Daryl, somebody did ask on Twitter, so I'll throw it out to you because we remember what happened after the Ravens win. They had the victory Monday, and everybody started losing it because then that tailspin started. So getting a victory Monday?
Yeah, they are getting a victory Monday. Players are off today, but it's the bye week, Anthony. They don't have a game to prepare for. I certainly have earned it. They've had a rough month. They've had a lot of guys go down with injury. They played extremely hard and extremely well yesterday. And again, it's the bye week, so I think that is not a big deal. Regardless,
these guys can handle the success this time around. You're sure of it.
Well, they don't play a game Sunday, so yeah, they're not going to lose. So yes, I think that they will handle the success the way they're supposed to, because they will not lose a football game next week.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Daryl. Appreciate you coming on.
You got it, guys.
All right, there he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.